Hi, welcome to Adventures in Awakening. I'm your host, Amber. Thank you so much for tuning in today to another podcast episode. I'm excited to share this one with you. I interviewed Cindy Riggs. She's an internationally known author, channeler, psychic, intuitive, the creator of defragmentation, which is something I'm going to try out with her here in a few weeks. So I'll give you guys an update on how that went. I'm super excited to do a session with her. So we talk about a little bit of everything in the episode. She gives you tips on working with spirit. The veil is thin right now, and we're being asked to give gratitude to our ancestors, all those who came before us. She also channels at the end a beautiful, beautiful message. And I hope you listen till the end because it's good. It's powerful. She taps in to what's going on in the world right now and shares a little bit of what we all need to hear. So I do hope you enjoy this episode. Quick podcast update is that I just have a lot of stuff going on right now. I definitely have some projects that I'm working on. So from now until the end of the holiday season, end of December, I'm not going to be posting and publishing episodes as often as I was, just because I need to find some balance and doing a lot of astrology readings, doing, again, a lot of other things that I'm excited to share with you here soon. So I hope you enjoy this one. As always, please like, share, rate, and review to keep the podcast growing. If you're interested in an astrology reading with myself, a Reiki session, Reiki training, or attunement, go ahead, shoot me an email or visit my website, adventuresinawakening.com. Have a beautiful day. Namaste. Hello, Cindy. Welcome back to Adventures in Awakening. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Amber. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm so excited to have you on again because we just chatted away last time and topics.
Sure.
So I'm excited. So
What would you like to discuss today?
Well, being that we are recording this on Halloween, I thought
love it.
Yes, I just like perfect timing. I love it. I love it. So I've set like a nice, loving environment, nice space for us. Why don't you share with the listeners, I know, in case this is the first time they're hearing you, just a little bit about yourself, your awakening story. We'll keep it brief and then kind of get into some of the services that you offer.
Sure. So my awakening story is probably a little bit different, but everybody's got a unique one, I suppose. I was working in a metaphysical bookstore, just started. It was a brand new store. We had just opened. I was starting to be exposed to more psychics than I had been exposed to before because I was the one hiring them to come into the store, and all the books and everything. And the store said, we would like all of our employees to be Reiki practitioners. I'm like, what's Reiki? You know? So I said, sure, I'll take the class. They said, we'll pay for it. Great. So I get in a Reiki attunement, my Reiki 1 attunement, and it opened up my psychic awareness. I had a vision immediately, and I started having more and more, not visions as much as hearing messages. So I was speaking with one of these psychics in the store one day, and I said, I am awakened at 3:15 a.m. every single night. What's going on? She said, get a pen and paper and write down what comes to your mind. I'm like, all right. So I did. And every morning, 3:15, I'd wake up. I got a pen with a little light on it so I could, you know, write in the dark. And what I would do is I would hear a word in my mind like I was thinking it. And I would write it down. And then I would purposely clear my mind and wait for the next word to pop in. And I just kept doing that over and over. And in the morning, it was making full sentences. Like I wouldn't even think about where the sentence was going. And so after a while, I finally said, who is talking to me? And my heart was racing. And the words I got were, we are light beings like you. I thought, okay, so this is interesting. And then shortly after that, I had a dream that was far too real to be just a dream. And it was my first spirit guide that I met in that dream. And then I started talking with her. She said she is the one that one of the spirits that had been giving me the messages. And so that's how it all began. I actually learned, so this is clairaudience I'm talking about, and that's what I was able to develop first. And which is kind of unusual, I guess, but then she taught me how to channel by first she would give me words to relay to someone. And that got smoother and smoother and faster. And then she taught me how to let a spirit merge with me, or sort of like come into my body and speak through me. And that's how I began channeling. So that was really, that is my forte still. And I use it every day. And, but of course, I've been able to develop the seeing and the feeling I already had. I just didn't realize it. So that's how the channeling started. But my real key to awakening goes back a year before that, when I was terribly unhappy, depressed, hated my job, hated myself, hated my life, slipped on the ice in my car, ended up upside down in a ditch, started having some, nerve problems from that. And what I finally realized later on is that was a wake-up call because I was not paying attention. But what happened that day is that, oh no, soon after that, I got fired from my job. And my friend said, "Why don't you just go hang out at my apartment for now?" Because I had commuted to my job. And if I went home, my parents would know something was wrong because I lived next door to my parents at the time. So I'm hanging out in her apartment, calling people, wanting company with my misery, just feeling really as low as I could possibly be. And she had left the key on the trunk for me to, if I needed to leave and come back. Well, it was gone when I needed it. And I was rubbing my hand back and forth on the front of the trunk. I'm like, that key was right here. And the cats are just sitting there staring at me. And so to make the long story very short, I came back in from leaving and the key was right there on the trunk where she had left it. And I know it wasn't there because I ran my hand across it, and there was nothing there. And then it reappeared in front of my eyes. And that is really when I awakened. I call that my key to awakening story.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's how kind of those things happened in the wrong order. Sorry about that.
Oh no, that's no, it landed beautifully. Do you think if you like what do you actually think happened to the key? What you do you bounce in and out of timelines?
I do believe
Or
that,
yeah.
or someone removed it for a short amount of time to get my attention.
Right.
Now, if I was jumping timelines, I think it was my higher self getting my attention. Somebody got my
Absolutely.
attention. I don't know who it was, but I'm glad they did because it changed my life.
Yes. Yes. And so now you primarily are, I mean, you have an amazing website. You're a
Oh,
hypnotherapist, you're
thank you.
psychic, you channel. You're definitely a spiritual mentor to people. You've wrote several books. What would you say brings you the most joy? And
My
like what
defragmenting, oh, okay,
defragmenting?
sorry. My defragmenting sessions. And that's something I created. I named it that because I get to just put somebody on my table and say, okay, higher self of this person, what are we doing? And it tells me what they need. It shows me stuff in their body. Defragmenting sessions also usually include a reading too, but I usually end up channeling a spirit who's also working on the person. And lately I've started channeling Nefertiti, the queen of the 18th dynasty of Egypt, and she's now an ascended master. And I'm getting some really amazing results with the healing work I'm doing as I'm channeling her too. So I have all these different techniques that I've learned, energy techniques. And then I'm guided and given new techniques on the spot just for that person sometimes. It's truly amazing. And I'm doing it, but I'm also observing it at the same time. That's where I get the most joy because I can also see, as soon as that person sits up, I can see how their energy's changed. They look different. They feel different. They always feel different.
Are you able,
That
so you're
brings me.
actually able to go into like inner where there's stuck energy in the body and remove that as well?
Yes, not only the body, but all the layers of the energy field. Like we have dozens and hundreds of layers of our energy field. And sometimes the higher self will say, go to the 14th layer or chakra, and we're going to fix something. And I don't know what it is half the time. I'm just like, okay, here we go. And then it shows me how to fix it. And then we come back. It's all very holographic in my mind. It's all very quantum. But yeah, physical stuff too. Sorry.
I love that. I love that. Because I feel like we're all healing right now. I mean, as we all have been and will continue to, right? Like we're all going through transformation and change, and the earth is, you know, ascending and we're being called to as well. So a lot of that, like for me personally, I've noticed, especially right now with the veil being thin and it's, you know, Scorpio season, all of those triggers that I thought were healed or little things coming up that are like, okay, all right. And it's just bringing awareness to it. But I've noticed like deep ancestral stuff happening, like a lot of old stuff that's like, you know, not even mine.
Right. And what's interesting about ancestral stuff, and I'm going to say other lifetime stuff, because that includes past and future. I've got a couple spirits I work with that can access all of that and can neutralize emotional patterns from other lifetimes that we don't know about, future and past. And it can also like awaken little bits of information or wisdom that might be able to help us in this lifetime. And I worked with Nefertiti with that just last week, and she said, you can't possibly understand this. That's why I'm doing it for you. I'm like, that is so cool. Like, there's no way our brains can understand like that whole tapestry, you know, but these spirits can see it. And that's what's so cool about working with them.
I love that. Now, do you see with your, like in your third eye space, your mind's eye, or do you see with your, like your eyes, your physical eyes open?
Both, but primarily my third eye. I can see with my third eyes closed or open. And then with my physical eyes, it's mostly energies that I see around a person or in their auric field, since I can often see miscarriages in their field.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So they stay?
Some of them, not always, but a lot of them do. And it's always like this bluish purple flash that's like down by their lower leg.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting. If I see that, I'm like, did you have a miscarriage? How did you know that? You know, because I see it, it's right there. And then we can talk to it, which is cool.
Yes, I love that. I've always thought, like, I wonder, like, I know that I had a pregnancy before my first child, and then I'm oversharing right now, but it gave me the chills. And then when she was born, I knew it was her. Like, I could feel that she came back. Did that make sense? But maybe I'm totally wrong.
No, I would believe that.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
I'm going to have to switch earbuds because I thought my earbuds were fully charged and they apparently are not. So give me just a moment. I'm so sorry. Okay.
No, you're fine.
How's that?
Are you good?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. With this being, I do want to get into past lives too, because that I know for me, that's been coming up a lot.
Sure.
Again, like just a lot of healing around that. But I saw on your website, just because it's Halloween, that you had a little blip about like helpful pointers with the veil being thin right now.
Right. And yes.
I was wondering if you would share, because I know, It is. The veil is thin. You can feel it if you're a spiritual person or not, just tuning into that energy. So would you share like some pointers or tips?
The veil is thin, and I know it for sure because I saw my deceased father this morning in a dream. So I hear about other people seeing like their deceased loved ones around this time of year. So this time of year, I get a lot of emergency calls. I've got like ghost activity, or I've got whatever, I heard something or I saw something. And in that article, which is on my website, I just said, give it till mid-November, because then it'll slow down a little bit, you know. Because I unfortunately am so booked that I can't get anybody in immediately for like an emergency clearing. So I'm going to have to refer them to somebody or say, relax, it's okay. But your original question was just you some tips?
Just to, because I feel like even if you're a high vibration person and your home is guarded and whatever, they can still approach you, correct?
Sure they can, because they're not bound to our space or time. So people say, well, it's in the house, it's in the basement. No, it's kind of, it can walk through your walls. You know, it can float through whatever, all of the matter. It's not bound by matter. So my tip is, if you feel like you see something, hear something, sense something, ask it this question. Are you from the light? And if it isn't, it just leaves. Because once it's confronted, it can't lie or pretend to be an angel or whatever. So that is the fastest, easiest way to weed them out. Now, if they are a light being, like a fairy, that's not a bad thing to have in your house. But I know some people who are scared of everything that is spiritual. And that's unfortunate, because they're not asking the question, are you from the light? And if it is, then it's welcome to stay and bless your plants or your pet or whatever. So that I think is really important. If the hair stands up on the back of your neck, yeah, probably not from the light, but have you asked the question?
Right.
Now, the second part is, if you still keep hearing it, feeling it, sensing it, I would also say, are you watching ghost hunting shows? Because stop that. Just stop it. Because whatever we think about, we're attracting. Okay, so some people just want evidence. They want the proof. And then they get it and they're freaked out because it's there, you know? So the second part is, are you from the light? If not, you need to leave. This is my house. You can't be here. And I'm never mean to them. Just like I know what's going to happen if I'm mean to a human. They're basically still humans without bodies. If they are ghosts, that is. And there's a lot of different kinds of spirits that are here.
Do you think that when I know there are, you know, dark forces, we'll say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you think, though, when typically our loved ones crossed over, they go to the light?
They typically do. Yes. Yeah. In my experience, and I've really been doing my ghost busting work for about 16 years, maybe longer. In my experience, most of them go into the light. Once in a while, I find someone who's still here. And it's usually pretty soon after their death, because some people stick around for a week or two. Everybody's unique. So that conversation could go on and on. But most of them do.
When my mom passed 4 months ago.
Aw.
And I could feel her for about 2.5 weeks.
Yes.
And then I could feel the moment that she wasn't here anymore. The dogs, I have little dogs. There's this space in the basement where I was like, oh, she must be going blind. She will not walk through that space anymore. Aww. And then after that 2.5 weeks, it's like, oh, she's fine. So I think maybe she was like spook. I don't know.
But that's interesting.
Like, I think she was feeling it.
Maybe. I wouldn't think she'd be spooked by your mom unless it was something. Oh, maybe. Okay, perhaps.
What else could it have been? Could it have been?
Well, it could have been anything. Yeah. Around the time of death, there are other spirits that sort of gather around. I have heard of instances where someone who's stuck here will actually piggyback on someone's light tunnel when they leave.
Yeah.
So some things like that. There are also spirits that are attracted to grief and sadness.
Oh, that could, yeah.
That's a powerful negative energy. So maybe, I don't know. I'm glad it was gone after 2.5 weeks.
That could be, because I definitely was, you know, feeling it for a while, you know.
Yeah. And the nice thing about hauntings or ghosts or spirit, you know, clearings is that I can do them remotely just as successfully as if I'm at the place. So I rarely do house calls anymore because it's not necessary unless they really need to see me to do it, right. See me do it to believe it, you know.
Sometimes it's that intention behind it of, believing, right. Seeing you there. And that's, again, just telling that being to go to the light. If you're not of the highest vibration of love and light, you are not welcome here. Peace out.
Right. The only problem with the light is if they've missed their window, I think they can't find it. So I have a system where I can open up a portal to the light, or I can ask Archangel Michael to do that for me. And then I give them their window again.
Oh, I love that.
And if anybody wants to try that at home, please remember to shut it when you're done.
Right, right. Especially this time of year, right?
Yes, especially this time of year.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait to try a session with you and see what comes up. I want to talk about past life regression and going into past lives too, because mm-hmm. I know we didn't talk about that the last time mm-hmm. on the podcast. Can you kind of share your opinion about past lives? And obviously we've talked timelines a little bit.
I certainly will. And this is going to be something that might be a little bit out there, but those who are ready can understand it, and those who aren't will have the seeds planted, because this is something that the spirit realm and the angelic realm want me to teach people, is that when you had a past life, you weren't maybe exactly the same particle configuration that your soul is now. What that means is our body's just a Ziploc bag with quantum particles in it. Particles that we configured for what sort of interests we wanted to have in this lifetime, what things we wanted to bring forth from other lifetimes. If we wanted to bring on a talent of someone else, we can borrow a few of their particles for a lifetime. So when people say, I was Cleopatra, do you know how many people have told me that the psychic told them they were Cleopatra? So I'm like, how many people were Cleopatra, and why is she the only one that everybody's interested in? That's interesting to me. And maybe they are, because maybe they have a sprinkling of Cleopatra particles in their configuration in this lifetime. So I think I'm being encouraged to help people understand it's not so cut and dried beyond here. Like, we die and we don't have to stay in this configuration anymore, although that configuration still exists because all lifetimes exist at once outside of this time. Uh-huh. So when let's say I'm dead and somebody dies and I'm there to greet them, yes, I'm still Cindy, but I'm also, you know, hundreds of other people at the same time, but I'm there to greet them. Does that make sense? It's
like
we're also multifaceted. So past life regression is fascinating. And I've had a lot of interesting sessions with people. I do believe they're seeing one or more of their own experiences in other lifetimes. But I wouldn't guarantee that it's all you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And maybe that doesn't matter. But they want us to understand really more of the quantum physics of it. That we're not always the same exact person. So somebody could be reincarnating right now and bringing in some Michael Jackson particles and some Elvis particles because they want to be a superstar. But they're still, you know, John Smith or whoever they were in their past life, or, you know, the most recent life.
So would that be like bringing in essence of the soul?
Or yes.
Is it deeper than that?
Well, it's just particles. So when I speak of this, like for groups, I'll actually take a Ziploc bag and put poker chips in it, all red. And then I have another Ziploc bag with all blue. And I'll say, this one's Abraham Lincoln and this one is Marilyn Monroe. And now they both die. Their particles are free and they decide to share particles. So the Ziploc bag has red and blue particles in it now, and that becomes whatever their name is next time. And it's really both of them. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That's so cool.
Yeah, so that person might find themselves
being like totally fascinated with Abraham Lincoln for some reason, or with Marilyn Monroe, or both. And they don't know why. It's because they were those people, but not completely. You know, it's like we're all hybrids of something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I was, I don't know what, how it came to me, or if I was told, I was my understanding that we all experience, you know, we've all been ISIS at one point. We've also all been a murderer mm-hmm. at one point. Like we mm-hmm. experience every depth of
yep.
the living. That's part of the journey, is to grow the soul. So we experience the good, the bad, all of it in between. Do you feel that way as well?
I do. I do agree with that. And ultimately, it's all one consciousness. So we are all everybody, you know, at the highest level when we return to the source, because we're all the source. And so it's like past life regression can be helpful in this lifetime if we want to find a behavior or a phobia, or if you want to just learn more about the wholeness of who you have been in the experiences. But ultimately, we're all one energy, one consciousness.
Yes. Have you had a lot of extraterrestrial or things of not from this planet come through in past life readings?
I have had a few, only because I don't do a lot of past life regression just specifically for some reason. Now, mostly because I do defragmenting, and that includes hypnosis. Well, yeah. And it includes hypnosis. It's just so comprehensive, but it's typically not a past life regression. But people do come for it once in a while. And it is pretty interesting. Like sometimes we'll say, this doesn't look like Earth. Cool. Describe it, you know? And when it is some otherworldly thing, the problem is it's hard to describe because we don't have any frame of reference for what we're looking at.
Yes.
Because not all worlds are like ours, with trees and lakes, and not all experiences are in bodies. Not all incarnations are in bodies. And, over the past 2 weeks, this is brand new. I've had two people's future selves come to not only talk to them, but to provide energy work. One was an Orion and one was a Pleiadian. And they said, I'm you in the future. So cool.
No way. I love that.
They won't give us lottery numbers. They won't give us sports scores. They won't reveal a lot. We can't ask a lot of questions because we can't say, what's going to happen? Why am I here? You know, they're not going to answer that stuff.
But the knowledge that they carry contains a higher mm-hmm. wisdom than what our human bodies are capable of understanding, yes. just like you said at the beginning. So they're bringing down all this healing energy to assist us mm-hmm. in healing the stuff that we're holding on to. I really believe that like new energy and new healing techniques are going to continue to really expand over the next few years.
I agree, because I think it was Nefertiti that recently said, you can look to the old techniques, you can look to the old wisdom, but what about your current wisdom? You know, meld the two together, bring them together. And that's what I've always attempted to do in these defragmenting sessions is, okay, I'll take the old, but I'm also going to allow it to evolve. And because of that, I get all this new cool stuff because I'm not tied to a certain technique.
So, and that's what you've done beautifully, is basically created your own healing with defragmenting. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of give us a few examples of some of the things that you've experienced as far as like some of your clients that have had, without like oversharing, just significant and, you know.
Just the other night, my client was lying there peacefully on the table. The Persian prophet Zarathustra came in to speak to him and give him some energy. And it was such a jolt that he jolted and started like coughing uncontrollably. That is the first time that's ever happened. Once in a while, somebody will cough and that's a release from the throat chakra. I don't know what that was, but he was ready for it, or it wouldn't have happened, because nothing is ever overwhelming. Let's see. I had a couple clients who like their arms or their upper body will levitate on the table, which is really fascinating. Oh my gosh, so many spirits. As I mentioned, Nefertiti is kind of my most recent one that I work with, but I work with a lot of healing energies and especially the people's higher selves. I can just channel a person's higher self and go on for hours if I've got hours, whatever time frame they give me. But let me see, what else has happened? Yeah, well, I can't make any healing claims, or can I? What can I do here?
Have you
Let's
had
just
people?
say,
Yeah.
well, let's just say a couple weeks ago, I had a client who had chronic foot pain because of an injury. And she said, I'm getting ready to go on a trip. I really wish this foot felt better with all the walking I'm going to do. I'm like, okay. And so there was a spirit who came to work on her. I was also incorporating whatever technique I was guided to do, because I do access bars and reconnective healing and Jin Shin Jitsu and Reiki and polarity and Kilaimni. And like, there's all these techniques I've learned. And sometimes they'll just show me, okay, do that. And we spent a lot of time on that foot. When she got off the table, she said, there's no pain at all. And I'm like, well, that's cool. But often that happens when I've got their ego separated, because that's the most powerful technique I use, is ego separation. And that lasts up to 2 hours. So sometimes pain will return. Well, she t e emailed me a few days later and said, it is completely healed. I have zero pain. And I'm like, that is very cool, because I was just putting my hands where the spirit told me. And I love that, because I'm not editing it with my mind. I'm not trying to figure out how to heal it. I'm not trying to think I can heal it. I'm just following guidance.
I love that you're just completely being a vessel, completely.
Totally. I am surrendering completely. So one time I was at an expo, and this woman walks into my booth and she squats down. And just stands back up. She goes, look, I can do this. I'm not going to have knee surgery. I'm like, that's amazing. Because that's why she had come to me, I guess.
Wow.
I just do what I'm, no, I can't make that claim. You know, I'm not
No,
licensed with the medical board.
right.
It doesn't work for everyone. Why? Because not everybody's supposed to heal. They're
Right.
supposed to have their ailment to learn something, or to learn to be more. I don't know what. Everybody has a lesson with it. Be more humble, perhaps. But when it is a possibility, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And really, I believe like the body is capable of so much more than even we think, you
Oh,
know?
yeah. Yes.
Like just to heal, like it knows, it carries so much wisdom and trauma and emotion that like if
Right.
we really took the time to tune in more, like I think the body would show us, I don't know, like it's just amazing. I
Yeah,
really think we can all self-heal and
I do too. And yet, people—if people don't know what their body's telling them—we don't take the time to say, "Body, I love you. Thank you so much for giving me these indicators that something's out of balance. I trust that you will heal it in the way you know how, and I'm going to give you the time and space to do that, because it's not going to heal itself if we're thinking and busy. It's going to do that while we're in a deep meditative state and our mind is disconnected." So the first
right.
thing I do is disconnect people's egos, so it's not like interfering with everything I do. And it was somebody's higher self who taught me that technique. So cool. I can pull somebody out of a, what's that?
Of removing the ego.
Oh my gosh. I can pull somebody out of a panic attack in seconds. It's amazing. Totally amazing, because that is the part of us that is concerned with negativity, fear, anxiety, depression, frustration, all that negative stuff.
So I want to ask you, I want to step away from defragmenting, but I'm gonna, once we have the session, I'm gonna come back on and share like my experience with the podcast
Oh, cool.
audience, if you're okay
Sure,
with that,
of course.
because I think it'll be fun. But
Yeah.
I want Now, if you're someone who is looking to connect with someone who has passed, you know, mm-hmm. the veil is thin right now, and it's like your mm-hmm. first time, do you have any suggestions on how to do that?
Yes. So I work differently than a lot of mediums who went through mediumship training, because I did not. Mm-hmm. I mean, not much. I did train a little bit with Lisa Williams and someone else, excuse me, at Lilydale. But I don't have that full formal training. Also, I didn't really do much of it until just a few years ago. Because of television shows, it wasn't that popular. And all of a sudden, people started coming to me for it. So if you are in a session with me and you're hoping that I'm going to pick up on your grandmother, I won't. Uh-huh. I am not tapped into that plane most of the time. Most of my career has been tapped into the angelic realm, the ascended masters, extraterrestrials, high level beings.
Right.
And I have to specifically tap into that lower level to get a hold of your loved ones. And I'm not saying they're lower level, but they are compared to angels and ascended masters. So I'm not automatically tapped into that. But if somebody says, I'm hoping you can talk to my father, give me his name and I can usually bring him in. No problem.
Okay. I feel like that too. Like I definitely communicate more with my spirit guides, my higher self, my angelic team. Mm-hmm. But I really try to not, unless it's something going on, some healing needing, or like I need some that I call on like my grandma or something, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure.
Like I really try to, and do you think that is because they're like lower vibrational and we're just naturally not wanting to do it or?
Maybe. When I talked to Lisa Williams about it, she said, well, my friend Doreen Virtue had the same issue. She was more tapped into the angelic realm and she didn't want to lower her frequency to talk to these, you know, deceased loved ones.
Right.
So I it was a conundrum for me for a while. And I'm like, maybe I should tell people I don't do it at all. But that's not, I feel like if my soul keeps bringing me that, then there's a reason and that it helps people and I can do it. I can shift gears. I just have to make sure I shift myself back up. But I've learned a lot of cool things from these people, especially about the death process. So it's been valuable to me, even though I work a little bit differently. And then at the end of the session, people are like, oh, I was hoping you'd pick up on. So I'm starting to ask them in the beginning, if you want me to talk to someone who's deceased, you need to tell me that.
Right, right.
If you're having that expectation, you need to tell me that now, because it's not going to happen if you don't. And I think they want it to be like this organic thing where I wow them that, oh, their grandmother's here, you know.
Right.
But also, your spirit guides have higher wisdom for you.
And it's going to be for your greater good. It's going to be for mm-hmm. the highest purpose if that's yes. what's coming in. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a question for you. So we were in Florida on vacation. Our flight was canceled. Mm. We couldn't get one for like 4 days. So we drove with four teenagers from Florida to Ohio. it was super fun. But no, it actually wasn't that bad. But we stopped at this hotel in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. It was like the only place we could get for our size group. And it was like midnight by the time we got there. It was dark. We went in the hotel, went straight to bed. So I'm going to sleep at night. And what happens is all these people are coming to me, like trying to get my attention. Like I would just about drop in. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like stop. And they were like trying to give me messages and they're so excited you're here. And I could see what they were wearing. Like, so, mm-hmm. and then I called in all the archangels. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, if I'm feeling this, then my kids are like, you know, mm-hmm. so I did I said like, you have spread your wings around this room. No more. I need sleep. We have another drive. Woke up the next morning. We were next to a graveyard. I had no idea, but literally channeling in, and I'm like no more.
And when people open up, you know, their abilities or they have an awakening and that happens, they don't realize they can say no to it like you did. You know, they're like, I don't know, they're lining up at my door. I'm like, tell them you're closed for business. Like, I don't, once in a while, somebody will like come through my forces around me. And I'm like, no, sorry. Especially if I'm in my own house. When I walk in my own house, the closed sign goes up and they all know that. So I hardly ever have any activity in my 122-year-old house.
Oh, I love that. So you've set boundaries. You've set some really strong boundaries.
Yes,
that's good.
Very strong.
That's good.
But honestly, if I was going to a hotel and I was tired, I wouldn't think about putting protection around it.
No. I was like, please just let me sleep tonight.
Right.
I woke up before we even went and I saw it was, I woke my husband. I was like, I think a bunch of dead people were trying to talk to me last night. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, no, seriously, I couldn't sleep.
Right.
And then,
so there's a phrase that I say that I think helps to weed all of that out. And it's always on this little handout I give people when they're either empaths or they're awakened or they're having trouble with this stuff. And that phrase is only high level beings and energies of light and love may approach me.
Yes. Yes.
And that pretty much establishes, because whatever you say goes.
Right.
We are the commanders of our energy field. So only high level beings and energies of light and love may approach me. And I rarely get anything approach me anymore.
Yes, I am the same. And I put my children in a protective bubble when they leave. It's in my, you know, grid of the house. Like, I think there's importance, not even in just saying it, but writing it down and saying, this is what I will accept and this is what I will not. And then keeping it strong.
And I don't know about your guides, but mine have told me that a force field, like a protection field, lasts up to 12 hours and that's it.
Okay. Wow.
So we need to keep, you know, redoing
that. Keep doing
that.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's good to know. Only 12 hours.
That's
what I was told. I feel
like
you should just be able to lay a blanket statement and then there it is. But no.
Yeah. But there are too many variables here with too many free will minds.
Yes.
And a ghost or a spirit who's stuck. And I find that spirits get stuck here for three different reasons. But a spirit who is stuck, geez, I lost my train of thought. A spirit who is stuck still has free will because it still has an ego.
Oh, wow.
Because it's still on this plane.
Okay.
So the three reasons I find that people die and don't cross over is, one, they think they're going to hell because they did something wrong, so it's safer to stay here. Two, they don't know they're dead. And three, they feel something's unfinished and they have to finish it.
Yeah, that's powerful there. So they're either too scared because they think they're going to hell. They don't know that they're dead. Mm-hmm. Or what was the other one?
They feel like something's unfinished.
Unfinished. Okay.
Like the ones that approached you were probably like, get a message to my husband or whatever.
Yeah. They seem very excited and nice.
Yeah.
They didn't seem bad,
no,
but they wanted me to relay and I was like, yeah, not happening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was like, they were almost waiting for me. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah. Definitely weird. So let's go back, because you had said you've learned so much about death.
Yeah.
Through just, you know, everything that you're doing. What do you know about the process?
Well, everybody's unique, first of all. But I do believe that some loved ones will cross through the veil to meet them. Now, the difference is, is it a sudden death or is it a terminal illness or something? That seems to be a little bit different. They start to have visions, or if they have dementia, then they are spending time on other planes already.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So they're just going on vacations to different planes, astral traveling, if you will. But most of them say that there was a bright light. You know, we've heard that so many times, but I have had people tell me the scenery, you know, like it was some scenery they expected, or it was a spirit they expected. It was Jesus, or it was Mary, or it was some archangel, or a saint even. I did have one recently who was in a car accident, and they said, you know, I heard the impact. I didn't feel anything, but this light was sucking me up so fast, I didn't even care.
Oh, wow.
And it felt so amazing.
Yeah.
I heard somebody else say, yes, I heard everybody talking in the room in the distance, but I was already in the light. Like, they were aware of who was in the room when they were in a coma, but, you know, the mind wasn't, the brain wasn't, but their soul was. And so there are a lot of interesting, I've talked to some suicides too, which are fascinating. I still don't fully understand those, but I've had a few of them say, well, it was just my time. I knew it was my time to leave. And
wow.
It's weird. It's weird because we don't understand that. But every single person I've talked to on the other side says everybody dies at the moment they're supposed to. And so if they're on life support, there's a little bit of a delay because they can't separate. But basically, they're already, you know, they're not going back in their body, or they're brain dead or whatever.
Yeah.
I've had people say, oh, it was this beautiful, and they'll show me, I can see the scenery that they're describing, you know, like a beautiful meadow or crystal lake, or, you know, like it was all these people. And then, you know, my client will say, well, who are they with? I'm like, everybody. I did have a woman say, Elvis is here. And my client laughed so hard. She said she loved Elvis.
Oh my gosh.
So that's pretty funny. But I have had them say, well, I'm with everybody I've ever known from every lifetime.
Yeah.
Of course. Because they want to know if it's their grandma or their grandpa or their dad or the dog. They often show me a pet, which is fun. And sometimes they'll say, I'm with my brother. And then they're like, she didn't have a brother. But then we don't know if there was a miscarriage. We don't know if she's talking about another lifetime. You know, like it can be really confusing.
It's like soul brother, right? It wouldn't.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because we have lots of soulmates.
And the people that the beings, the spirits that you conversate with, they're generally all happy, right? Like, because you've set
that intention. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. They're all okay. Just know that they're fine. I cross over a lot of spirits that I find they're stuck here. I don't even know how many thousands I've done of that over the years. So I've heard people, like, as soon as they go into the doorway to the other side, they go, oh, that was the dream, as they're pointing to our reality. So that was the dream.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's powerful. It is just a dream, right? It's like a blip.
Like a blip. And I talked to someone the other day who has a new baby, and that baby has a few of her dad's particles in it. She said that makes total sense, because he told me that. And she said it makes total sense. She even has like mannerisms and facial expressions that he has had.
And the father was passed before.
Yes, father was passed before the child was born. And the child points at his picture and says, Papa. Yeah. They never told her who he was.
Right.
But she knows who he is.
Yes,
that's very common.
I feel like there are pieces of my youngest daughter. I feel like part of my grandma in her.
Mm-hmm.
I had that relationship with her. Mm-hmm. I was close with her. I swear. No, the feeling is so the same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And we can't prove it or disprove it. So why not just believe it?
Right.
You know, it's more fun to just believe it.
And I needed her. There was a little piece of that in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, I thank you so much for being on. You have so many gifts, and like, you've just fully embodied your purpose, and I can't wait to do a session with you. I am hoping that maybe you could just share a little message for the collective. I know, you know, we're in a time of change and transition. I was wondering if you would just either maybe tap in and share a message, or just share what comes from your heart to assist us all in what we're going through.
Going to ask just who wants to share a message with everyone? I feel like it's a male presence, and I feel like it's an extraterrestrial. Geez, I can't even talk because I'm already spacey. It's my buddy Roll from Sirius. So I have a Sirian connection, and I know this male who is from Sirius, the star Sirius B. Uh-huh. And so I'll see what he has to say to all of us. He says, the ones who have been working on their spirituality are the ones that will transition smoothly through all of the paradigm shifts that you will live through. And it is important that you remember that you chose to be here now. You chose to be part of this major shift in awareness, because it is important that you help others. Now, it's important you understand that helping others does not mean you have to make a career of it. Helping others, the most powerful way that you help others is just by being peaceful and accepting yourself. Peaceful and accepting of everyone and everything. Not resisting, not going against anything that is happening. So you have elections coming up, and it is important that you understand the dual nature of your reality. And if you want to be an evolved spiritual person, you cannot engage in duality. You do what is right, but you do not have anxiety about it.
Okay.
Does that make sense, what he's saying? I'm just relaying.
I love it.
So it's like, I think he's saying that those of us who have been reading about spirituality and working on it for all this time, we've been preparing ourselves for now. And the people who haven't been working on it need a little more help.
Mm-hmm. And to stay in that place of love, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
And I know a lot of spiritual people who are in that space of love until there's an issue on the ballot. And then they get all like on a rant about something. It's like, okay, you've lowered your frequency and you've gotten back into duality.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard, because I think mm-hmm. once we see the bigger picture of, hey, maybe it's just happening because they're wanting division, yes. then
yeah,
you know, and we just got to separate ourselves and stay in that place.
Right. And I can hear Raul saying, also tell them, believe in divine order, because everything that happens or doesn't is for your benefit.
I love that. Believe in divine order. Yes.
Yeah. So whatever happens or doesn't is for our benefit. But we might not see that until we leave here and see the bigger picture. You know, we're only living one little puzzle piece mm-hmm. of a huge, gigantic puzzle.
Mm.
And a lot of that puzzle we're not allowed to see, because what would be the point if we could?
Right. Oh, I love that. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you for coming through. Thank you for your message.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, buddy. Well,
thank you, Cindy, for being on the podcast. Is there any final words at all that you would like to share? I know that was amazing.
I would, actually, because I know the key to discovering your purpose. I know the key to what I believe is the key to everything, and that is surrender to your soul. Command it to show you what it came here to do, and then everything is effortless and magical. And I promise that is true, because it happened to me, and I maintain that attitude all the time. Whatever my soul wants today, whatever's happening or isn't, is what my soul wants. And this, because I don't try anymore. I don't try to figure something out. I don't try to manifest things. I'll say, oh, it'd be nice to have this or that. But, you know, ultimately, it's whatever my soul wants. And that is the highest, I think, thing to ask. And I learned that from Vishnu when I channeled his book. He says, ask for alignment with your soul, and there's nothing else to ask for.
Yes. And do you center yourself like that every day before you begin your day? Do you say, okay?
Or... No, I don't, because it's an ongoing attitude that I just carry.
Yes, yes.
But I used to in the beginning, sure. I had to say, no, mind. I'm surrendering to myself. You know, like I had to remind myself for a while. But now it's just an all the time attitude.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Surrender and connect with your soul, your higher self.
And love command it. Hey, yeah. Soul, what did you come here to do for financial income? Show me. Mine showed me in a week when I did that. I mean, it still blows my mind what it has brought me, because I get to do some other things that we haven't even talked about, like performing funerals. All of a sudden, I'm getting really busy as a minister. I've been doing weddings for a long time, but funerals, love them. I never thought I would love that. I never wanted to do it. But now I've done almost 20 of them, I think, which isn't a lot, but it's a side gig. Okay. and it's an honor. What an honor. My gosh. And that's what my soul brought me. My soul brought me ghost busting. I wouldn't have pursued that, but I'm really good at it. So I didn't know that until I did it.
Right.
And so I was going to say, I've also told my soul that whatever you bring me, I'll do. I'm not going to resist.
Right. There's magic in that. Mm-hmm. Yes. What do you see for your future? You think you're going to, I mean, funerals just came to you.
They did. And I intend to do more. I'll do them as they come to me. And there are often people I don't know, because now I have a couple funeral homes that call me when somebody needs someone. And that is a huge honor. And so I don't know. I don't know what my future is. And I don't even really think about that. I certainly have some ideas of things I'd like to experience. But what comes to me is so much more powerful than what my 5% mind could come up with, that I'd rather be in the state of surrender instead and let it unfold.
Yes. Oh, so beautiful. So beautiful. You are such a bright light, and I'm so grateful for you being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Well, I'm going to copy all of your links in the podcast notes, but will you tell the listeners where they can find you to book a session to find out more?
Yes. CindyRiggs.com. CindyRiggs. Everything is there.
Yes. And I will be giving an update in a few weeks after our session, so I can be like, look at what I feel lighter, guys.
Yay. Yes. And yes. You will. Yes. I'm sure you will. Yes. I too have a podcast, and I channel on every episode. So that could be interesting too.
Yes. And your podcast is called what?
It's called From Beyond.
Yeah. From Beyond.
From Beyond, interviewing spirits, channeling insight.
I love it. Love it, they could probably find it
From Beyond with Cindy Riggs.
Yes. And I'll copy all that as well. Thank you so much, Cindy. I hope you have
Thank you very much.
Beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.